conclusion of this magnificent chapter, I just have a suggestion for you for tomorrow. If you want to have a meaningful preparation for the Resurrection Day, read chapter 8 of Romans. Think about it. And Paul, in this glorious conclusion, it's almost like he can't wait to express all that he has brought to a final climax with these words, beginning with what was read earlier. But then he comes to the last question in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. To drive home his point that those who belong to Jesus are eternally safe and nothing could interfere with God's chosen people one day experiencing the unrestrained love of God the Father for them, he brings the concluding question to this point. He had already given us questions that have been shared tonight, asking who can be against us if Christ is for us. If the sovereign Savior is for us, it doesn't matter who is trying to destroy us. We are in Christ, and nothing can keep his love from reaching us. Along with that, since the Father has given his Son for us, how could he not give his chosen people everything? God has made us heirs of everything that is Christ's. Heaven is ours, and all that that means. And then, who can bring any charge against God's chosen people? God has judged them not guilty. No accusation will stick to them. So who can condemn God's chosen people? The holy judge of all has declared they are not condemned regardless of what they have done, because he condemned his only begotten Son in their place. After giving these theological doctrinal reasons for his people to be assured of God's love for the beloved children for whom Christ died, Paul addresses the real-life situations that can and do create doubt about that love. Is there something that could possibly indicate that God has removed his love from his people or from me as an individual? And Paul lists some representative experiences that may cause someone to question God's love for them. This is not an unusual experience for a child of God to have these kinds of episodes in their life, sometimes for long periods of time. Tribulation, all kinds of troubles that make life painful and difficult. Problems of all sorts. Why does this keep happening to me? Why doesn't God answer my prayer and give me some relief? Where is his love now when I really need to feel it? I need to sense God's love. Distress, all kinds of pressures, all kinds of responsibilities, disappointments, unexpected disasters in personal relationships. One problem after another. Why does God keep on letting these things happen? Is he angry with me? What have I done to deserve this? I'm doing the best that I can. Persecution. Rejection because of your seeking to be faithful to the Word of God. Being perhaps mocked or scorned on the job or in school or in your family or even among acquaintances because of your faith. Some people have said that conservative Christians, meaning us, are like the Taliban, wanting to impose our morality on everyone else by force. In some places, there is persecution that means financial ruin, social ostracization, physical punishment. How could a loving God let this happen to his own children? I wouldn't let that happen to my own children without trying to stop it. Famine and nakedness. How could a loving God allow his children, and we've all seen the pictures of people in various parts of the world in severe poverty, and some of them are believing people of God. How could God allow his children to be without the basic necessities? I thought he promised in the Lord's Prayer to ask daily for our food, and the implication is you ask and you'll receive. So why isn't that happening? Danger. We prayed for safety and protection from accidents. And this may have happened to you. I know people for whom this has happened. Pray for safety, and the accident happens, and a child is taken, or a wife or a husband. We prayed for God to protect us, and it didn't happen. Disaster struck. Where is God in that? Why did he let that happen to them or to me? Is God punishing me? Does he really care? Is this love for real? Or is this just some kind of theological doctrinal truth that we can express together and find some degree of agreement on, but it doesn't really have any practical day-to-day on the ground meaning for us? And then the sword. Paul is probably referring to martyrdom because he quotes from Psalm 44, we are being killed all the day long. The persecution and killing of God's chosen people has occurred throughout history, not all consistently in an equal way in all places, but it has happened. And some estimates are that today, one out of every five Christians in Africa and two out of every five Christians in Asia are experiencing high levels of persecution. Open Doors says that about 5,000 Christians were martyred last year. Shouldn't a loving God protect those who worship him? Where's the love? God allows this sort of thing to happen. Do all these problems mean that God is withholding his love from his people and from you personally? You don't feel it. I'm not feeling it, Jack. I hear it. It's good. I'll answer the questions right. But really, I don't feel the love. Are your troubles actually a form of punishment for your life? Is that what you think? It must be because I've done something wrong. Maybe there is something that you need to repent of. But is that punishment a reflection? Is that punishment from God because he doesn't love you? Or is he unhappy with you because you're not growing fast enough, you're not spiritual enough, you're not praying enough, you're not reading enough, you're not witnessing enough, you're not doing enough, you're just not doing enough. And so you feel distant, you feel unloved. Do you have to ignore the bad experiences in your life and the difficult circumstances that you are in now You have to grit your teeth and say, but the Bible says Jesus loves me. But you're really not feeling it. You're struggling to believe it. But you know you must say it because the Bible says it. Paul would say with a shout, absolutely not. The love of God has not been reduced towards you at all, regardless of the circumstances, even regardless of your failure, regardless of your weakness. The love of God has not diminished at all. Since the Father has already punished his Son for all of your sin, past, present, and future, he would not then turn around and punish you for it because he's angry at you. That's not the real God. The real God doesn't do that. The God that we make up does that, but not the real God. He's already given you his Son, so how could he withhold his love from you for your poor performance? How would he diminish it all since he sacrificed his Son so that his love could be experienced by you? It's unthinkable. In fact, all these unpleasant conditions of life, these sufferings, these difficulties that we go through are meant to mature and deepen our experience of God's love. And if that has not yet begun to happen, you haven't gotten deep enough into it. Keep going. Keep believing the truth. Keep confessing the truth. Keep being honest, completely honest with God. Say everything that you think. He knows it anyway. You might as well say it in private, but say it. Be honest with God. The Father is preparing his people to be displayed as the bride of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these sufferings, these difficulties, will purify our love for him as long as we do not distance ourselves from him, but come closer to him for comfort and power. We need comfort. Because the sufferings and the confusion and the struggle are painful and they're real and they don't go away with a good night's sleep. We need power because we are weak in faith and love. Remember, Jesus is praying for us that we will not fail. And the Holy Spirit is also interceding for us to finish our course faithfully. Lastly, Paul expands the certainty that nothing can diminish God's love for his chosen people. Nothing in space or time, nothing in the physical world, and nothing in the spirit world, nothing in the seen or unseen worlds, nothing that any human power can do, nothing that any spiritual power can do. Nothing that happens in life and not even death and not even you can separate yourself from the love of God if you are in Christ. God's love for his chosen children is constant, unchangeable, and eternal. It's unconditional. The condition was already met in Christ. His unconditional love is reserved and focused on his beloved children. You're looking for proof? You got to re-say this over and over again to yourself. You have to preach the gospel to yourself every day. Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us in this. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If the death of Christ is real, and it is, and it's historical, and it is, and it's never going to disappear, and it will not, then God's love is being demonstrated to you every day if you are in Christ. When you doubt God's love or think he is punishing you, remember the meaning of the cross of Jesus. This certainty is for those who are in Christ. They have been united by faith in his atoning sacrifice, and therefore their destiny is secure. You have been joined to him in a spiritual union that is as certain as his existence. And you are loved by him with a love that can only be measured by the agony and the glory of the cross. Look to Jesus. Remind yourselves of these truths. Revisit them frequently so that when the time of testing comes, they will be a source of comfort to you. God intends you to know that you are safe in his hands. He doesn't want insecure children doubting his love. He wants confident, joyful, and anticipating for the future that which he has prepared for them. Listen to the words of Jesus from John 10. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Amen.